Just you, Eric.
So, Chris, I am recording now, and we do officially have a quorum. As far as attendees go, we already checked in with Elizabeth. She's just here attending. Tony Meekum is here. I'll speak about him during my liaison report. Rosemary is here in support of the Ravenwood application, but I don't believe it is her intention to present. And then we have Amy and Gil Livney here, who are both representing the planning action on 599 East Main. So why don't I check in with Rosemary real quick to see if she was going to speak, and then we can decide which one you want to take first.
Reorder a bit. Yep, sounds good.
Rosemary, hi. Were you planning on presenting your application, or are you just here to attend?
I'm just here to attend.
Very good. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
So with that, Chris, I might suggest that we, once we get through adoption of minutes and liaison reports, that we go to 599 East Main and then circle back.
Sounds good. Okay, then with that,
Sorry to interrupt. I once again have to leave by 7 o'clock. It's possible I can go a few minutes over, but if we can get quorum business done by then, that would be great. Sorry, this is the last time.
yeah, and I don't think that's going to be a problem because Steve Jensen is busy with another council engagement, so we won't have his liaison report, and Peter is also absent. So we're going to be moving straight to the planning actions very quickly.
Okay, great.
Okay, 6:03. I call the meeting of Ashton Tree Commission to order. First up is the approval of minutes from last meeting. You may have a chance to review those and like to make a motion.
I checked them out and I'll make a motion to approve. But if you guys want time to second, I'd recommend reading over, but it was pretty straightforward.
I second that. I read them over, they looked fine to me.
Okay. All those in favor, by show of hands or an aye. Motion carries. We have, I guess, just community development liaison report there.
Yeah, I'm going to save most of what I have to talk about for the discussion period so we can get right to the planning actions. But one thing I do want to mention right at the top here is on March 16th, the Tree Commission will be giving its annual report to council. The hard part's already been done. It's been drafted. Chris has reviewed it. It's gone to admin for their review. But Chris, unfortunately, is going to be out of town. Is there another commissioner who would be willing and able to attend the March 16th council meeting to present on behalf of the Tree Commission?
What time is the meeting?
I believe council meetings start at 7 p.m., and this would be fairly close to the top of the agenda, but not the toppest thing.
I can't. I'm actually volunteering at the vaccination clinic that day.
Okay.
I'm there till almost 7, so I don't think it could. Sorry.
Sure. Asa or Eric, are either one of you available, perhaps?
I could say I might, but I think I'm going to be out of town.
Okay.
I could let you know by Monday of next week.
Okay. And
Right.
Asa?
So March 16th.
Correct.
And it's no longer, we don't have to show up there at city
It'd be via Zoom, and it would be just like this, and I would introduce you, and you'd have prepared remarks to read.
Sure. Yeah, I think I could do that.
All right. So either Acer or Eric will get one of you to do it, and we can sort out those details from here. So cool. The rest of the items that I have to go over, Chris, I'm going to save for the discussion period.
Okay. Awesome. Thanks, guys, for filling in on that. It's quite painless. All right then. Oh, it is. Being out of town is kind of a lame excuse anymore, but I'm going on vacation. I'm just totally checking out for a week. So
Yeah.
we are. So I don't have. Shoot.
You don't have your
I don't
script
have a
handy?
long boring one. Oh, I found it. I found it. All right. So moving into the planning actions here. This is the time and place for the Tree Commission review portion of the land use public hearing. If you wish to speak at the hearing, please keep your comments and testimony limited in scope to issues, comments, or concerns pertaining to the landscaping and trees. The following procedure will be used in this hearing. Number one, the public hearing will be open, and those interested in stating their positions regarding the matter to be considered will be invited forward to speak. During the public hearing portion, who wish to give testimony regarding the specific application are encouraged to do so. If you wish to speak for, against, or comment in any way, please come forward to the table at the appropriate time, give your name, address, and make your statement. Secondly, at the beginning of the public hearing, staff will present its report on the action and conditions of approval. At this time, commissioners will have the opportunity to ask staff questions. Thirdly, after the staff report, the applicant and applicant's representative will have 15 minutes to present the proposal. The commissioners may ask questions of the applicant or the applicant's representative without affecting the 15 minutes allocated for the applicant presentation. Next, other members of the audience will be allowed to speak regarding the application and shall be limited to 5 minutes each. Those wishing to testify shall be called forward and give testimony. Five, the staff will then be given the opportunity to respond to any question of the commission or any matter which has been raised. And finally, the applicant will then have 5 minutes of rebuttal time, after which the public hearing portion will be closed. And so, yeah, if anybody has any objections, but we move to the last of the type one reviews. This is so I'll call to order planning action T12-2021-00141. This is at 599 East Main Street. The applicant owner is Rogue Planning and Development Services, LLC, for Livni Family Trust, and Gil Livni, the trustee. This is a request for site design review approval to modify the existing building at 599 East Main Street, including converting the former church to use as office space, which occasionally, with occasional assembly uses, convention, trade show, etc., and adding a new entry. The application also includes requests for a conditional use permit as it involves the expansion of an existing non-conforming development where no off-street parking is available, and street tree removal permits to remove two calorie pear trees, street trees, 10.2 inch DBH and 20.7 inch DBH in the Park Row planting strip along East Main Street. So if we could have a staff report, please, Aaron.
So as usual, the blurb puts most of it together. The element of this that affects the tree commission involves the request to remove two street trees. And as the packet materials indicate, this is apparently a tree that's now considered invasive. And the application states that over the last number of decades, these trees have just not flourished. Amy is here to present the application. And Amy, I didn't know if Gil needed to be presented to a panelist as well, or if he's just here attending. You're still muted, Amy.
I think he does not want to be promoted, he just said.
Fair enough. Good.
So the proposal is to remove two calorie pears in front of 599 East Main Street. There is a major, there's a major facade improvement project proposed for that building. And the calorie pears are in the Park Row. They were planted, it appears, like in the 1990s when there was a site review done for what the current exterior of that building looks like. The calorie pears, considering their age, have not grown that well. And then doing research on the calorie pears, information online just kept coming up over and over and over that those trees should be eliminated from the urban environment. And then especially in an area where we have a high crop of commercial pears, I guess these pears are starting to cross-pollinate with commercial pear plants and creating situations. So Missouri, the Morton Arboretum recommends removal. And so I provided some of that information in the packet. It also turns out that the trees don't meet street tree placement standards. They're too close together. They're too close to the intersection, and they're too close to a power pole. The width of the lot requires, per code, only one street tree when you start subtracting all of the separation requirements out of it. So as a result of the removal of those two trees, one larger stature street tree would be proposed, more centered within that park row. So it has a better ability to grow. It's not in the vision clearance triangle. It's not within 25 feet of the corner. It's not within 10 feet of the power pole and so forth. We haven't selected which tree would go in there. It's a hot site. It has a lot of exposure on all sides. And then the facade of the building we're putting in has a lot of glazing on it. So we'll have to pick a tree that can handle reflectivity and just heat and that sort of thing. But the street tree removal application doesn't really address how to deal with trees that aren't considered hazardous or dangerous or that sort of thing. There's not true criteria in the code for a street tree. There's criteria for tree removal permits. So I tried to marry them together and the best way I could to address the tree removal, why these two trees should be taken out. You know, if they were healthy maples or something like that, we'd be having we wouldn't even be having this conversation necessarily, but because of the types of the trees, the condition they're in, we feel it's best that they come out and a nice new one goes in. That's all I have to say.
Okay, thanks, Amy. Anybody have any questions for the applicant?
I didn't get to see the trees. How tall are they right now?
I was guesstimating their height to be about 24 to 28 feet. They're not as tall as the building, and the building is like it's two stories at the street, and then there's this sort of tower element. So I was guesstimating about 20 some odd feet using the power pole in the building to guesstimate, but I didn't have like a clinometer or anything to measure.
Sure, sure. Are they healthy?
One of them, it looks like it maybe has been bumped into with vehicles, the corner one. It's got a little bit of a lean. They've never really been maintained, so they're pretty scraggly and straggly. They're not, they don't like have a good form by any means. And they're not providing much of a shade function, just the way they are.
Okay.
I forget, Amy, are there overhead power lines running along there?
There is, there's a power drop to this building is coming down from across the street to this site. The overhead lines are on the other side of East Main, but it's the power line and the power pole drops right down by one of the pear trees.
What's the main reason you wanted to take them out now? I'm sorry.
The main reason is that they're considered invasive according to numerous different sources, that they are not in the best condition. They don't meet street tree spacing standards. There's a major construction project that's going to happen out there, and we want to plant one bigger tree that would meet street tree spacing standards and be healthier.
So if they were to stay, would the construction project endanger them?
There could be some issues with the utilities and the electrical. Water and sewer are both on Fifth Street, so they are not in the area of the trees. The sidewalk is in an okay condition. I don't believe that they'll be required to tear out the sidewalk and put in a new one, but there's not infrastructure in that park row.
Will that park road be developed? I'm just looking at the picture here. Will there be more soil volume in there eventually? Because right now it's a lot of concrete, right? There's not much of a park road.
I'd have to look at my pictures really quick. I think it's grass. It's
I can't remember.
Let me see. Well, it's dirt. It's not grass. There's just like a dead park row. I have a picture of it. If you want, if I can share my screen, can I share my screen? Super.
Be able to share your screen. Yes.
Okay. So this is, oh, you guys can't see it. Can you?
Yeah, we can.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you can see that's one of the trees. And then it's just dirt, compacted dirt park row. And then I think I have one of the other tree as well. Let me see. That's pretty much the same one. The other tree's a little shorter and has as scraggly canopy as this one. It doesn't look better than this tree. I don't believe I have a good picture of that tree. I don't. Any other questions?
I'm good.
Good.
And thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Amy. And nobody else is here to speak on this one, correct?
That's my understanding, Amy. Gil doesn't want to speak, correct? Okay. I'm going to go ahead and put you back into an attendee then.
All right. At this time, we'll close the public hearing portion. And I forgot to ask, did anybody have a chance to look at this, Eric? I hear you did not. Asa? Kat?
I was in a super rush later today, zipping around, and I thought I looked at them, and then I realized I was on a different street looking at some other pear trees. And then, but I've looking at the picture Amy just showed, I've definitely seen that tree before.
There's a pretty good image. If you enter the address into Google Maps, there's a very good street view image of both trees during the summer, the kind of canopy that they have. If you enter in 600 East Main Street, you'll be able to see them. I feel like she told us, but why are they removing the trees again? Other than the design? Like, she doesn't like them.
Yeah, that's what it kind of sounds like to me.
They preferred to have a different species there.
That was my understanding of overall improvement on the corner. Yeah.
It's a pretty big tree.
Well, kind of. It's pears are never my favorite just because we get so many failures. They're really pretty in the spring. But, yeah. What, I personally
don't do it
pears for a big shade tree. But what's that?
What's the deal about them being invasive? I haven't heard that.
I haven't heard that. I do know the guy that, quote-unquote, created them or crossbred them and marketed them later apologized. Because they're so problematic. Actually, I think I read that in that urban forestry book. But it's either, I get it mixed up. It's Callery or Bradford, but they're very similar. They're a decorative pear. You'll see them all over. They're pretty for a couple weeks in the spring and kind of yeah. But I don't know. I'd love to see a great big shade tree in that spot personally. But
yeah. I can't imagine them being invasive here in this drier climate. It seems like pears would thrive in a wetter climate.
Yeah, I wonder if the Midwest.
Similar to the whole thing, you know, the butterfly bushes, you know, unless it's in a riparian area, it's not going to take off here. And the whole hybridizing, like pretty much any pear is going to, you know, have the potential to hybridize with other pears, you know, same with plums and everything. But you'd have to be deliberately wanting the seed. It's not going to affect your crop. It's just going to affect the genetics of the seed, which, and I don't think they're breeding pears in Ashland, unless it's a, you know, hobbyist. But so in order for us to approve, this is a planning division submission requirements, and then street tree removal approval criteria: A, emergency tree removal; B, hazard tree removal; C, dead tree. These trees don't meet either three of those criteria, but I would like a large tree, you know, as well. You know, B Street and C Street's not too far away, and those have awesome big trees, almost like kind of corridoring in certain sections, and that'd be pretty cool to have kind of a similar on the north side of East Main to have a just row of huge trees to kind of complement the big ones near the cemetery. But technically these don't meet the criteria of approval.
Yeah, I see where you're going with that, Asa, for sure. Because it's paired up and being considered concurrently with site design review, I'm sure Derek can probably work that in with some broader rationale with the site design review standards. But you can certainly, we will certainly make a note if you recommend, well, either way, we will make sure we capture that you can't make a finding to those specific criteria if you want us to.
Yeah, I don't feel particular. I mean, I'm about the technicality. I don't know about that, but it would be nice because there's no overhead wires there that would really interfere with a very tall stature shade tree. It would be nice to have one big tree placed there and well planted so that it has a chance to thrive in the future. I certainly don't feel attached to the pears. But yeah, I don't know in terms of about making an exception on the rule for street tree removal.
At the same time, no one's here, you know, defending them.
Yeah.
I think I would, yeah, if we move forward, I'd like to see some provision about taking better care of that strip, and maybe a larger stature tree than usually the 1 3/4 inch. We could put a big, you know, especially if we're going, you know, replacing 1 for 2, a large stature oak or Zelkova, or there are any number of good big shade trees that could go in there and be 15 to 20 feet, you know, tomorrow.
Silver maple would be nice.
Yeah, problematic down the road too. It's a silver maple.
Yeah, I know, but they're such big beauties.
Yeah, they are. I don't know. I don't see those around nurseries anymore. Do you guys, Eric or Asa?
No, everybody's got way, way, way behind because of COVID and all that. So there's a lot of things that can't be purchased now. What about, I was thinking like an autumn flame, red maple, maybe an autumn blaze. Almost, that's a big, real big tree can handle heat.
That'll be pretty.
That looks like it's southern exposure, possibly.
Yeah, a bit of heli.
You know, maybe the soil. It sounded like she was saying that. Did anybody look at the soil there? That might be part of the problem because it was stated that it's not growing very quickly. You know, I mean, the soil on those park rows can be really, really cruddy, you know, especially if they haven't amended it at all. And chances are in the 90s, it probably wasn't amended soil at all. So that might be something to address.
Look pretty neglected. And then I look at something like this has been in the ground, 25 years next to Zelkova that's been in the ground for 25 years, and it's be 10 times as big.
Yeah.
I mean, how big can a pear get anyway, right?
Not very big, and
yeah,
my experience is then it starts falling apart.
Well, it's it feels like we're ready to make a motion. I'm wondering, is it appropriate for us to choose the species for them or just let them decide? We could make a suggestion, or does it have to be a recommendation, or, you know, how do you guys feel about that?
Generally, whatever, we can make suggestions. I think large stature at maturity covers a lot of ground, right? Is that what we've done in the past?
That's generally the language that we use. If you want to specify one or two species that you recommend, we can certainly include that as well.
You guys are the experts. I don't know.
Did we have a motion?
Well,
I make a motion to approve the application as submitted with the following recommendations. that I'll just go off Chris and Eric's expertise. I don't know if that's a legit motion, but...
I'm sorry, I'm not clear on what the motion is.
Okay, before I make the motion, what species do you think would be good, Eric? Red flame?
I'd like to see, an autumn blaze or autumn flame, red maple. And then Chris mentioned oak. I don't plant a lot of oak. I don't know how what they do with the heat from the street and that kind of thing. I don't know.
Yeah, it might not be the best. I've seen some red oaks do well. And this is, probably part of a larger discussion. But is it part of a comprehensive plan? Are there more trees going in throughout the property, Aaron, as part of the planning action? Or?
So there was no landscaping plan that was included with this, which I thought was a little surprising. I would presume that they would ultimately re-landscape the planting strips, but I do not have that. I cannot guarantee that at this stage.
Just realizing it's 6:30. So if we're going to make that 7:00, we got to speed it up. I make a motion to approve the application as submitted with the recommendations that they choose plant a tree that's large stature at maturity, appropriate caliper at the time of planting, recommend red flame maple or autumn blaze maple or a Zelkova.
Second.
And I'm sorry, I know there's one on the floor, but there's some provision that irrigation, they're required to irrigate and take care of that for a while, Aaron, in the code. Is that something we should mention?
Let's mention that and then capture that as well.
I think as a friendly amendment that the area be cared for, and that we actually specify a larger caliper than normally required, at let's say at least 2 inches, if not more. And I'm all out of whack on my Robert's Rules of Order. So I consider that a friendly amendment. Are we in order on that? Or?
So what I'm seconding.
What I've captured is the motion to approve with the recommendation that the mitigation tree be large stature at maturity and a caliper of at least 2 inches. Suggested species include autumn blaze or red flame maple, along with appropriate irrigation.
Sounds good to me. Do I need another second or can we vote?
I still second.
I'll second. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Okay. And we're good to go back to the beginning here.
Carrie Kincarin was briefly online, but apparently she's needing her iPad to charge. So, we should go ahead and go to the top of the agenda with the Mountain Meadows application and go from there.
Okay, call to order planning action tree 2021-00140. This is near 947 Mark Mountain Meadows. The subject tree is located between two buildings. The owner is Mountain Meadows Parkside Condo Association Incorporated. The applicant is Southern Oregon Tree Care. There's a request for approval to remove one red maple, Asa Rubrum at Mountain Meadows. The application prepared by an ISA certified arborist indicates that the tree is 14 inches DBH and stands approximately 40 feet tall. The application explains that the tree is not well rooted based on the rocky nature of the ground and that the height of the tree now exposes it to wind loads above the building. The concern is that a wind event may cause the tree to fail and potentially cause damage to the building. The application states the intent to mitigate the tree with a species better suited to the environment. Anybody have a chance? Have we find this tree?
I found several scraggly trees in that area, but it was very difficult to identify which one they referred to. There was only one that seemed like it was above the roof line there. And I don't know if that's the one they were referring to. It didn't seem to correlate with the map they gave us.
I had a tough time with that too. Acer, Eric, do you guys find it?
No.
I didn't have any picture to go
back and down.
Yeah, we had given a picture.
I think there were a couple of pictures that were close-ups, but they didn't give you... Oh, pardon me, there was not.
One in the packet.
Oh, the map and Willie's report.
But I also didn't see anything in that vicinity that I would necessarily have trouble approving removal, although I also didn't see anything that would actually damage the structure of the building if it fell. So I don't know.
Exactly. I think, they're so starved for light. They're just so leggy. Right? We're between the two buildings. That's where I work.
Correct.
Up against the parking lot. Something that needs less light in there would probably be a lot happier.
I do have a lot of pretty trees there, all the planting in the riparian area and all of that. But sorry, Eric, were you saying something?
Is it a slender space that it has to go in? If we were to ask for mitigation,
it's kind of odd because there's a building and then a building and it's in the space in between and there's a slope and what, maybe 50 feet between the buildings, roughly. Aaron, are we on the right page? Did you see this one or just?
I went and posted the notice. I had a similar experience where I kind of looked around and wasn't sure if I was seeing the subject tree or not. I do always ask applicants to make sure that they're flagging subject trees for this reason. But I'm not even sure I saw the subject tree.
Can we ask that they just resubmit with a photo of the tree so that we can actually make an educated decision about this?
Absolutely.
Or flag it with some ribbon or something?
Absolutely, you can.
There's no imminent risk.
Well, so the arborist report, I was asked by blah, blah, blah to write a report requesting permission to remove a red maple. I made a site visit January 6th. So it's like, was he asked to write a request to remove it before he even saw it? That's a little weird to me. Then next paragraph, this tree appeared reasonably healthy. This tree has a phototropic lean, seeking light down the hill towards the other building. The concern is that the tree is not well anchored and is now above the roof line, exposing it to the storm winds. So to me, it just seems like they're kind of creating the story. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd like to see it.
Yeah.
And you can simply, you can also recommend denial and just go that route.
If it's the tree I'm thinking of, I'm kind of the same mind as Kat that they could improve upon the area and there's not a whole lot of future for it, but I don't feel real comfortable. I'm not sure which tree I'm making a motion on. You know what I mean?
Let's go with what Kat said. I liked it. It's like, let's get at least a ribbon around it and resubmit. Yeah. I mean, does it cost them money to resubmit?
No, it won't cost them any money. It will just simply delay the approval of the application.
Delays it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So well, could I make a motion to deny the application pending further evidence or marking of the tree?
Yeah.
Before we do a motion, the last paragraph, the plan by the Mountain Meadows Owners Association is to replace the tree with one of a smaller stature, better suited to the environment, as well as to bring in many yards of soil and re-landscape the area to add more texture and beauty to an area that is struggling due to lack of soil and maybe light. But
pretty cool too.
So it sounds like what they want to do is maybe a potential improvement. Mm. Just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
But yeah, if anyone's ready to make a motion, I'd say go for it in any direction.
It's mostly, it's not that I saw any tree in there that I thought I really wanted to protect. It's most that I just don't like to make approvals without actually feeling like we know which tree they're referring to. It just feels like a bad precedent. But that's just me. I'm happy to approve it if anyone wants to just go with it.
Yeah, I was just chalking it up to my inability to decipher the map and hoping you guys had found it, but not so much. All right. Yeah, I think we've got a motion on the table, and I second that.
To deny, correct?
To deny with based on lack of us not being able to find the tree. We need more information, picture, flag, something.
So what I'm capturing, just to read back, is a motion to deny the application backup based on lack of evidence or an ability to locate the subject tree. And I'll basically communicate that back to the applicant, and they can either accept the denial or they can submit additional evidence, and we'll see it next month.
Yeah, make sure they flag it with something.
Absolutely.
It's a simple fix and a good, like you said, bad precedent. So, all those in favor, show hands. All right.
Yep.
Motion carries. Thank you. Okay. Call to order. Planning action 3-2021-00142. This is at 549 B Street. Owner applicant is Robert Lombardi. This is a request for approval to remove two black locust trees, Robinia pseudoacacia, at the property located at 549 B Street. The application includes a report prepared by an ISA certified arborist, indicates that the trees are 43-inch and 24-inch. The application explains that the trees are both in poor health with splitting branches, posing a hazard to the surrounding development. I may have a chance of visits on this. I did. Any abstentions? Staff report, please, Aaron.
Yeah, so this application is similar to another one that's come in just this week, where I got a phone call with someone concerned about a tree that had basically a major branch failure and saying, it's an emergency, we got to take it down. As you guys are familiar with, the emergency tree removal criteria requires that the tree be in imminent danger of collapse and that the hazard can't be mitigated otherwise. So when the tree professional called me about it, we discussed it, and basically he needed to mitigate the branch that had broken. And I asked him if it was possible to prune the part that had broken without taking down the entire tree. He said yes. So it was one of those situations where he was on site. He was hoping to get emergency permission to remove it. I basically wasn't in a place to allow him to do that. They took off one major branch to mitigate that risk, and then this application followed. That actually has happened again since then, and I wanted to bring that up, highlight that, because we might want to discuss potential language changes for how to deal with that, because the concern I always have is that I'm costing an applicant potentially additional money by having that arborist need to come out, do work, leave, go away, come back again. So this has happened more than once, and I want to sort of seed that for future conversation. That said, you know, neither of these trees appeared to be in terribly good health. The cracking seemed pretty problematic, and that's you got the arborist report as well. So that's all I have to present.
Did anyone see it?
Yeah, I drove by, rode by.
Yeah, I saw it, and the, I don't know, the property manager, a woman came out and chatted about it.
It looked pretty damaged, don't you think, Asa?
Well, one of them was just completely topped, and right. She even said that. She said, yeah, one's already topped, and she said the split was above that. So right. Whatever damage happened, you know, the arborist just went ahead and took care of it, but didn't remove it because of the, you know, the rules. The other trees seem to be fairly healthy. I haven't fully read Beaver's report on it, but it did mention something about maybe 30% dead or something. I haven't read that full paragraph just right now, but it kind of early on it splits into two different directions, and then one is not, maybe goes out like 45. It's relatively pretty horizontal. You know, locusts would be way stronger if they're vertical. Then the one close to the building is vertical, and then right up near the gutter ish it kind of splits again and goes over the roof. So it's like, you know, if they were going to prune it, you know, which I would recommend, prune it away from the roof. So then you're just left with a branch that is likely to fail at some point going horizontally, and then just one really tall vertical. So it's kind of like a nice, it's a big tree, which is really cool. And I like locusts, but at the same time, if they were to do pruning on the one that's remaining, the top one is sort of already almost removed, you know? So, and to let it sprout out isn't really the best sustainable, you know, long-term thing, I'd say, to have it be so close to the building. I don't know what would thrive there, but I just don't think pruning would really leave the best specimen, but I don't know what would become a good specimen in that shady location.
Yeah, I think the report stated what's closer to 70% of the crown was dead. That might be a little generous, yeah. But I saw a lot of deadwood up there. It had been cabled, and one of the cables was just hanging there. It either failed with the branch or the cable itself failed.
Yeah, so, it was like a rope.
So is that top tree the result of pruning to mitigate the hazard?
That's correct.
Gotcha.
Because, again, I didn't feel comfortable telling him that he could go ahead and remove the tree because it didn't meet that very specific definition. And he told me, he said, it's going to look like a Charlie Brown tree if I do this. But the concern was, of course, mitigating the immediate hazard, not the aesthetics of the moment.
Yeah, that's a tough call. Another reason to have an arborist on staff that can run out there and have a look. But anyway, that's another conversation.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it looked pretty rough to me. I wouldn't have an issue, I guess, removing it. But Eric or Kat, did you guys see this?
Yeah, no, I feel the same way, Chris. It looked to me like they were about to fall down, and one of them was just a stump. So I would agree that probably removal is the best course with these trees.
Any thoughts, Eric?
Let's make a motion to accept it and have it removed. What about mitigation?
So when they're a hazard tree, the language is may. But you can, if it's a non-hazard tree, it's shall. If it's a hazard tree, the language in the code is may. But I don't see any reason why mitigation planting wouldn't be appropriate in this circumstance.
I like may. Well, that's good for me. Approve the application as is, and it'd be nice if they would mitigate it with another couple of trees that are appropriate for the area.
To be clear, it's not, you aren't giving them the option. The option is being given to you about whether you require
us on the mail.
Correct.
Okay. No, I don't think it's necessary, but I didn't see it. I didn't see the area, so I don't feel comfortable about telling him to mitigate. It sounds like Chris and Kat saw the area, so.
Asa, too, seems like there's a lot of big trees. I'm trying to think of the map.
Yeah, all the buildings there are pretty tall, you know, like two-story. I think two-story, not three. I'm pretty sure it's just two, but I could be wrong, but. There's like some sheds and stuff near there that kind of like, if those were to disappear in the future, I think there's room to plant a tree. But with those there, it's a pretty tight spot.
pretty tight spot. Can we recommend that they remove buildings and plant trees?
I think there's enough space. They could definitely get a tree in there, and they probably want to go with something a bit smaller than what this tree was.
Yeah, maybe a nice Italian plum or something.
I don't know if you guys can see that, or is that too hard to see? That's the apartment block with the V-shaped tree that we're kind of saying, okay, and the fence line with the sheds on the other side of it. It's way too close to the building as it is now, but if they put it closer to the fence, they could probably get a tree in there.
Yeah, think about Firewise.
Another spot on the property. Because there's some nice big ones out front. I think I'm okay with May as the ordinance states, but.
Well, so how about, what I have typed right now is approve the application with the condition that at least one mitigation tree be planted, or I can just remove that.
No.
Remove that.
Good.
How about I make a motion to approve the application as submitted with a friendly suggestion that they plant something if they feel it, if they feel like they can.
Is there a second? Oh, sorry. A couple of friendly suggestions. I've tried that in the past and it kind of bit me in the butt, but.
Does that
complicate things, Aaron? Is
I don't think it does. I'm comfortable with that.
Okay. Don't let me do that. I like it then. Are we good then? Motion on the table and seconded.
Yeah, who was the motion? Case was the motion and Simpson was the second?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. And motion carried.
Okay, great. Okay.
I did that one. I suggested something and it, oh, I forget how it got really complicated. It was on a big project and I was unclear. I wish I remember the story, but I think they cut the tree down. No, I suggested they'd not. Well, it was just a suggestion is what was, anyway. That's kind of how it went down. All right, so we're on the planning action 2021-00143. This is 311 Ravenwood Place. This is Lynn Ann Anderson, applicant as Rosemary Murfree at Ravenwood Townhouses HOA. This is a request for approval to remove a single black oak at the rear of Unit 311 at the Ravenwood Estates. The application includes a brief report by an ISA certified arborist and includes photo of the base of the tree showing an area of significant root rot and decay. The tree leans significantly over the building, posing a hazard to the structure in the event of a main stem failure. Okay, got all that. Anybody, do you guys have a look at this?
It did not get to this.
Extensions?
My only question was whether it was really a black oak or not, but I did see the tree. Was it a black oak, Asa?
Pretty sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
It helped because it was a picture. We knew where to look.
Yeah. The Ravenwood place is always interesting because, we drive in there looking for their trees and it's like, where is this thing? But that one happened to be right next to the street.
Right.
So I saw it, like, I was like, oh, there's the planning action public notice and there's the tree. Yeah. And I'm like, wow, that was easy. And so there's some decay at the base. I think black oaks are really strong. I don't think it's going to fall over, but it's like right in between two big white oaks. And I think one of the white oaks to the east would probably do better if that black oak was removed. There's kind of two trunks to that tree. I think they could easily cut the trunk with the decay and keep the more vertical, smaller trunk, and the tree would probably survive. My kind of feeling was like, oh yeah, there's decay. You know, it's in between two oaks. Yeah, they could do some thinning, no problem. But then I was like, well, what if a car flies off the curb. Like, you wouldn't you want like a 10-foot tall trunk to like block a car from hitting your building? So that was just my initial thought.
Oh, and I'm sorry, Rosemary's here, but you said you did not want to comment or...
When I asked her earlier, she said she didn't want to speak on behalf of the application, but was here to observe.
Okay.
And Rosemary, you can go ahead and unmute and speak if you would like to. Just double to make sure we are correct about that.
Hi. I think you have all the information.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have any questions, I can answer them.
Do you have any questions for the applicant?
Do you know, were you guys proposing to just remove the one trunk with the decay or both trunks of that black oak?
We didn't talk about removing only one.
So sounds like we'd be removing both trunks of the same oak.
Unless you tell us that we should only remove one.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, if no other questions, I don't have a problem with this one, but yeah. I make a motion to approve the application as submitted.
I second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you. Thanks, Rosemary, for coming. All right, so I believe we're on to planning action tree 2021-00144. This is a tax lot 6100 Oak Knoll Drive. This is Frank and Kathleen Millett are the owner applicants. This is a request for approval to remove two large oak trees and one large pine on a vacant residential parcel on Oak Knoll Drive. The application includes a site plan showing the proposed residence and ARU location, showing that the proposed structures encroach significantly into the critical root zone of the trees, necessitating their removal. I have any site visits on this one? I did not make it out here, unfortunately. Everybody else? Casey?
Yeah.
Yes.
The only thing I would add from a staff perspective, because sometimes you ask why certain applications are before you, this is single family zoning, but because the parcel is vacant, it does not meet the exemption. And when I first spoke to the applicant, I wasn't convinced that the site plan was enough to convince me that the trees needed to come out. I think they're really underselling the size of the canopies on the site plan. And, you know, as I sort of visualized what that lot would look like if you put in appropriate tree protection fencing to allow for, because when you build a house, they're excavating, you know, 18 or 24 inches down to build the stem walls and whatever else. And as I was on site looking around, visualizing what they would be limited to size wise with the protection of those trees seemed like a pretty significant restriction. Then again, the application materials are pretty thin. There is no arborist report. So I think this one's a little bit tricky. So that's all I would add.
This is in the HOA, the oaks, just off of...
I think there's two different HOAs out there along Oak Knoll, and I'm not sure which one this is a part of. It's certainly a part of an HOA, but I couldn't tell you which one off the top of my head.
Yeah, I saw them, and I didn't catch that they wanted to remove the pine until just now, because I was like, man, those oaks are awesome, particularly the white oak. You know, there's a black oak. They both have mistletoe, but they'd both be super easy to prune. The black oak is a little more upright and kind of a medium-sized black oak, I'd say, real vertical kind of structure. And so it's a nice tree, but it's sort of like not, you know, not amazing, where the white oak is, you know, you wouldn't be able to wrap your arms around it at even close. It's just huge, and it leans kind of towards where they're proposing to build. And then it curves up with like a really well-formed canopy. And it's just an amazing tree. Why they'd want to cut it down, I have no idea, because it would make their property way more valuable. And then I was like, well, if it goes through, at least they've got the pine. So it's like all three trees.
Hey, Aaron, can I do a screen share? I've got some photos that I took for
you should be able to screen. Yep, yeah. For sure. Okay.
You know that lot. And I'm sorry, Aaron, one more time. So this isn't technically part of a planning action to build a home yet? They're just wanting to kind of preemptively...
You don't need a planning action to build a home.
Oh.
Right? If you have a vacant lot that's already subdivided and you want to build a home, you just submit your building plans.
Really?
So there's not a planning action associated with this. Now, if they were going to build a home in an ARU, that would have a planning action. What he's presenting right here is a garage with a future ARU. But again, to build that house, you don't need a...
Oh, yeah, that is a great pine. I know that spot.
This pine is beautiful. And I honestly, I thought that the lot could be easily developed without the removal of the pine. I wanted to kind of defer to you two about the oaks, because as you can well see here, both of them have a bit of mistletoe, but...
you should go prune it, Kat. Go get
yeah, that's a little above my ladder pay grade.
That
gives you an image. It seemed a crying shame to me that these beautiful mature trees would be removed. Anyway, that's my two cents. I'm going to stop sharing now unless you need to look at it further.
I want to make a motion if everybody's okay. Does anybody want to discuss this more?
Well, so he just wants to build a garage. So does he own like an adjacent property?
No. His proposal is to build a house.
Build a house.
And a garage.
Oh. ADU.
And I guess I'm thrown, because usually we would see this as, you know, there'd be a tree protection plan and landscape plan and all of this. Which I guess he doesn't need technically.
Yeah. Well, because he's asking to remove them all. This is an odd application to come before you. I can't think of we've done a number of residential removals that have been vacant by virtue of being common space. But this is the first time in my recollection we've had a vacant parcel of residential land where they're just asking to remove the trees to develop a single family house. So this is a little bit odd for us.
I wonder if these trees would have, I guess it's not public space, so maybe it wouldn't have been part of like a pre-condition requirement during the initial development to retain those trees. Like, you know, some trees are like, yeah, you can do the development, but like this tree, like must remain.
So I did not think to take the time to look at the original subdivision approval. That subdivision was done long enough ago that I would be really shocked that trees on the vacant parcels were protected. I would expect that of trees on common area land, but I would be shocked, frankly, if the original subdivision approval contemplated the preservation of these trees, because I imagine that when it was platted, you know, many of the lots probably had trees on them, and as they developed individually, you know, they either saved or cut down what needed to be cut down. And you're certainly within your rights to ask for more information proving why the property can't develop.
Yeah, I mean, I guess at the end of the day, it's hard for us to swallow that this happens a lot, right? There's a lot with trees, and the trees get cut down, the house goes up. But
yeah,
I don't know why this one feels odd. I guess you explained why, but.
Well, with just looking at this kind of bird's eye view, you know, with a pine, you know, adequate tree protection usually is, you know, outside of the drip edge, you know, even ideally outside the critical root zone. But we've seen many tree protection plans where, you know,
did we lose ASA?
Their plan. I don't even see why it has to be removed.
Well, yeah, that's, you know, with tree protection, it seems like they could be kept.
So I'm going to go ahead and share my screen. This is an overhead imagery from our GIS. Are you guys able to see that?
Yeah.
And maybe the shadows are sort of misrepresenting their location, but, you know, the canopies for these two oaks do cover a pretty large area back here. Mm. And maybe, you know, Kat is right that, you know, you could save the pine and push further back into here and lose the oaks, or vice versa. Maybe they don't all need to be removed.
Yeah, it looks like the footprint, it looks like the ADU is well away from the black oak canopy, and then there's a 6-foot deck that basically bumps right into the drip edge. So it's possible that that structure is completely outside of that canopy zone for at least the black oak. If the garage was pushed further back from the pine and the black oak could be retained and basically just push it into the white oak to, you know, sacrifice the white oak to save the black oak and the pine. I think that's possible, but then it's sort of like, who are we to, you know, play Legos with someone else's land, you know?
We're the tree commission, man. That's who we are. We're trying to protect trees that don't have to get cut down. One tree at a time.
So it's 7:03.
I guess.
Yeah, I can go till 7:15, but then it's going to be a hard stop for me.
Again, Asa, about the big black oak.
The aerial view.
Well, you went and visited. I guess I was just curious from an arborist perspective of that black oak.
Sorry, your sound was cutting out there for me a little bit. But yeah, my view of the black oak, to me, it was like, is a really nice tree. Yeah, it had really great uniform, you know, scaffold branches coming up, more of an upright growth. You know, it didn't have like low, you know, limbs coming out all muscular. It was kind of like just a little more, you know, the white oak is just a monster and it, you know, it looks like one. It's beautiful. The black oak doesn't quite, I mean, it's a nice tree, but to me, it doesn't seem like beautiful. It's like, it's not like, wow, that's an amazing tree, you know, but yeah. I mean, could they switch them? Could they switch the garage mash over the black oak and then put the ADU in between the white oak and the pine? I mean, that would be, you know, a way to, well, it looks like they want to, they're going to, let's see, 24-inch pine. So it looks like the ADU is going to have a driveway that's going to need to remove a 24-inch pine in the future too.
So this site plan is obviously very preliminary. They don't have house plans. When he submitted this, I made him aware that they're only allowed a single driveway approach. So they're clearly going to have to revisit this plan. But the 24-inch pine and the other pine out there are in the right-of-way. So those would technically be street tree removals should that come forward.
Yeah, and if we approve it based on this, then we're pretty much guaranteeing that 24-inch pine is going to be removed. Every other tree along the street there has a little red X through it. Have they tried to preserve even one tree on this property? I don't think so. I would like to see my 2 cents worth. I'd like to see them trying to preserve some trees on this property. I mean, they've just gone through and pretty much put a red X through every single tree and guaranteeing in the future that that 24-inch pine will also have to be removed if we approve it as it is.
It looks like there's a 27-inch pine in the corner that doesn't have any plans. But yeah, this is just sort of like a guess on what they might do, but it's not even a guess because there's two driveways. So that's not really a whole lot for us to work with.
No.
Can we... Is it appropriate to deny the application and just request a little more solidness on, you know, what's even possible?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that this is clearly a notional site plan that is not anchored in reality, I think gives you a moment of pause to say, yeah. It sounds like, did we lose Eric?
Yeah. I'm back.
Okay, sorry. Great.
Don't know what.
You know, and I think, you know, I don't know about R1, but, you know, at least for, you know, big developments, you know, that big development that was kind of up towards I-5 to the west of North Mountain Road that I don't think they've started building, but there was one tree and Derek was like, you know, that you could just say that's a significant natural feature. To me, the pine is a little, you know, and the oaks, well, the pine and the white oak are significant natural features. So I'd like to make a motion to deny the application as submitted on the basis that it's just too vague and it's just too hypothetical. We don't need to be cutting, you know, recommending cutting down trees on a hypothetical, you know.
It seems unnecessary at this point in their planning process to remove all of these mature, significant trees. Premature, based on their planning stage.
Agreed.
Was there a second?
Yes.
Second.
Got your choice of seconds there, Aaron. All those in favor, by show of hands, aye.
Aye.
It's just not.
Motion carries. How are you doing, Kat?
Good. Is this just the last one that we have?
Just Walker,
but it's huge.
And that's a big...
Yeah, it's going to require a bit of an explanation. I'm not sure if we're going to be able to fully address it in 5 minutes. But Carrie Kincarin is here to speak on its behalf. If we lose a quorum, we aren't going to be able to have any additional official votes.
Okay. Well, let me go ahead and I'll see if I can delay myself here.
Okay. I call the order. Yeah. Should
run? No, go ahead, Chris. Carry on.
Call to order planning action T2-2021-00028. This is 364 Walker Avenue at Walker Elementary School. Applicant is a HMK company for the Ashland School District. The Planning Commission will conduct an initial public hearing to review details of the proposal to take public comments on a request for site design review approval for a 22,450 square foot single story addition to Walker Elementary School at 364 Walker Avenue. As part of the proposal, the parking lot and drop off lane would be relocated and expanded with access to be taken via Hunter Court, the driveway serving Hunter Park. A new courtyard would be created. The application also includes a request for conditional use permit to modify the school district's master sign permit program to allow new signage for Walker Elementary School in conjunction with the proposed addition and tree removal permits to remove 20 trees. An existing 9,700 square foot classroom will be demolished in conjunction with the proposal. No final decision will be made at this initial public hearing. The item will come back to the Planning Commission for a decision at the April 13th, 2021 meeting.
So just to add a little bit of flavor to that, this is a situation where the school district is trying to move ahead because they have a particular timeline. But there are parts of this planning action that are not fully baked. And part of that comes with the fact that Hunter Court, as the blurb said, is not actually a right of way. It's parkland. And in fact, what my understanding is, 7 of the 20 trees to be removed may actually be on parkland. And so this is being teed up to go to the Planning Commission and then also to the Parks Department. And there's a chance that this plan may have to radically alter if the Parks Commission isn't okay with the proposal as it's drawn. So this is sort of looking for an approval, a recommendation for approval if it goes this way. But if it doesn't, it may come back to us in a different form. Chris, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to take over from your formalities there. Karen is here, and she's unmuted if you wanted to ask her questions or ask her to speak.
And just once, we have reviewed this before, right? Was this presented in the past?
No, I think you're thinking of one of the other school projects. We recently saw the high school that had a bunch of tree removals in the John Muir school. But this is this has not come before you before. Yeah, this is Walker.
This is Walker Elementary, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Can I jump in?
Yes, please.
Please. So the plans you have before you are not the most recent plans. We sent, and that's no fault that you don't have them, but there are now only the two trees at the top of Hunter and the two trees where it intersects homes are the only trees we're proposing to take out because we've redesigned the whole parking lot. And that's what's going before the Planning Commission, not this plan.
Carrie, sorry to interrupt you, but which two trees at the top of Hunter and then what are the other trees?
All the way to the end of Hunter Court where it stops.
By the bike path?
Yes. And then the two trees that are intersection with homes. No, that's not true. And the little smaller tree that's under the large one towards the intersection of homes. So basically the four trees that we identified in the center to come out are not coming out. We've redesigned it so that the it's just a So I don't know how you can really respond to this. And what I would propose is that you get a copy of the more current plan. And since this is not the plan that the Planning Commission is going to see, nor is it the plan that we're going to that's being submitted to Parks as a response as a revision of this. I mean, I hate to do this, but I think that it's inappropriate for you to even try to respond to this. Now, all the other trees that we identify to come out that are on the site, we are proposing to need to be removed. So it's really just the Hunter Court issue that is misrepresented here.
Carrie, when did those revised plans get submitted?
Well, I think they were sent to the city yesterday, but I don't have an answer for that, Aaron.
That's fine. The packet was put together a week ago. I didn't realize there had been a redesign.
Yeah, so it may have been a week or more since it's been redone.
So it sounds like you think we probably shouldn't consider this application at this time. Is that correct?
Well, I mean, I don't want to slow down the process, but I think that we're going to go before Planning Commission. And then we're going to go in front of them again in April. If we can get on the Tree Commission's agenda before the review in April, I think that's more appropriate than trying to do it now.
That's terrific. The next regular meeting for the Tree Commission is April 8th. And so that way we can bring it before the Tree Commission, right before it goes back to Planning Commission.
And is there a way that we can have,
thanks, Kat.
You don't name anymore, right?
That's correct, Kat. You're good.
You're good? Okay.
Carrie, go ahead and say that again, please.
I can't be present at Planning Commission, but I'd like to do is draft a memo that just kind of states what happened at Tree Commission. So Planning Commission, when we go before them next week, understands that Tree Commission hasn't been able to rule on this because they didn't have the current plan.
Or a quorum. So sounds good.
I don't want to misrepresent anybody.
Yeah, no, it sounds like a good plan. I mean, then we can, especially if the timing works out, we'll see it right before it goes.
I'm so sorry about my technical difficulties. For some reason, I'm not at home. I'm out at the coast, and my iPad would not charge. So
it's all good.
Totally caught off guard.
Yeah. Well, Carrie, thank you for being here and explaining that. And do you want to touch base tomorrow about this memo?
Probably on Monday.
That's fine. That's fine.
He's at the coast, man.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Carrie.
Bye.
Man, there's a lot of school stuff. It seems like every school, like Hellman, is all getting ripped up and redone. It's like, are they building taller fences? And, you know, it's like, what is all the school stuff? It's really interesting.
Somebody pruned the heck out of the trees at John Muir, too. It must have been to make room for new buildings. But, man, they're nice pruning cuts, but they took a lot out.
You see that corkscrew willow, like right in the middle of the middle school? It's just like carnage everywhere. And then this corkscrew willow.
Yeah, I think it's coming out. I think that used to be in the middle of the courtyard, right?
And I was looking at it. I'm wondering if they're trying to save it now, because it seems very deliberate that they've been working around it. But I think it was approved for removal. So we've obviously lost a quorum, and the only official business we can conduct is adjournment, basically. But that said, I would like to sort of entertain the discussion item section for just a minute, if we all are comfortable with that.
Yes.
So,
I'm okay. Discussing.
So really, just two items more than anything else. I mentioned at the top of the meeting that Tony Meekum was in attendance. He's the urban forestry specialist that works in Grants Pass. And as you guys all know, I formerly worked in Grants Pass. And they're getting ready to consider modifying some ordinances to deal with tree protection and tree preservation. When I worked for Grants Pass, there was absolutely no ordinance that really protected trees on private property. And so we spent about a half hour today discussing some of the uniqueness of the Ashland Land Use Ordinance as it pertains to trees and tree removal, tree protection. And since we were having the meeting tonight, I suggested that he might want to attend. So he's been here all evening watching. I could certainly give him an opportunity to speak if you wanted to see if he had anything he wanted to say. Chris?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, Tony, I know that you really hadn't expected this, but you're able to speak now if you'd like, and you stuck through an entire tree commission meeting, so at the very least, it felt like you ought to say hi.
Awesome. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you guys so much for letting me be here, and your commission definitely works a lot different than the Grants Pass Urban Tree Advisory Committee. They don't oversee any of these sorts of applications. They're basically just a recommending body for policy changes. So this was really informative. Thank you.
You're very welcome. It was nice to have you here. And then the only other item that I wanted to bring up was Tree of the Year. Kat was kind enough to take... As you guys know previously, this is something I would promote a lot at the front counter with handouts, and people would turn in forms. Obviously, in COVID land, that hasn't been a thing. Last year, I want to say we had 28 or 30 nominations for Tree of the Year. And then we whittled that down to, I think, 10 finalists. And then we had that put out for the vote. This year, there was a lot less interest. It got a lot less visibility. And so I think we had a total of 11 nominees that were turned in. Kat was kind enough to take photos and compile that into a little PDF book. I did send that out to all of you. Hopefully you had a chance to look at it. Again, we can't make any formal motions at this time. So we're just talking. But I was thinking that what we might do is just put that, slate of nominees forward, for voting. I'd really hoped we would make that official tonight. I'll see if we can't maybe do that through some offline communications in the coming days, because it would be nice to actually get that voting going so that when either Asa or Eric, you present at council, we can say, and Tree of the Year voting is underway. So that's what I'm hoping we might do in the next couple of days. And I'll probably discuss that with each of you individually offline. And those were the only items that I really had for discussion, with the exception of a little wraparound to the wildlife handout that Kat worked on. Feels a little unfair to have this conversation without her, so I'm sure we'll need to do it again next month. But to bring you guys up to speed, I haven't had a chance to have more than the briefest interaction with Bill Molnar about it. He had a little bit of concern with citing federal laws that the city is not in a place to enforce. And the feedback that he gave me was, whenever we're considering any sort of action, like, hey, here's a handout for tree removals, or here's an ordinance update, is that we should always really focus on the powers and duties section in the municipal code. And I took the time to go back and relook at it. And that really was a kind of a clarifying moment, because that's kind of our guardrails. And he thought that trying to cite federal law was sort of getting outside of that scope. So that project isn't totally complete. What I need to do is find time to have a more substantive conversation with Bill about what he was comfortable with and what edits he wants to see. And I'll circle back with Kat on that. And then that's really all I had to say.
I think, the whole federal law, that sounds scary. And it's like, well, that's obviously isn't our business then, you know, but then at the same time, it slips into the door in our realm as far as education.
Mm-hmm. Well, and maybe it just might be a matter of recrafting how it's being positioned, because you're right. Education and outreach is absolutely a function of the tree commission. So I think what I'm trying to say is I need to find time to get some more direction from Bill, I think, before we take a second sabbat, so I can really understand the direction that he's trying to give us.
And did I hear right that you're going to contact us individually as far as finding a way to move forward with the tree voting?
Yeah, I mean, while we can't officially have a vote, I'm going to talk to Chris probably tomorrow. And because Tree of the Year is such a whimsical, non-quasi-judicial thing, I think that that's something we can comfortably do without a, you know, formal issue. I want to touch base with Maria to make sure I'm not outside of my scope on that. But, you know, Tree of the Year isn't mentioned anywhere in the municipal code. So when people say, well, what can we do with Tree of the Year? It's one of those things where it's kind of whatever we make of it. So I think we'll be able to successfully get that launched. Just look for me in the coming days. Okay. And
just as a reminder, I think historically the Tree Commission rarely do we narrow the, you know, the submissions. If that makes it easier.
We did last year, I think, only because we had so many.
Yeah, we have in the past, and there's a big list and obviously some obvious duds, but this is a great list. And one thing to be aware of too, we've gotten into trouble. I think that Black Oak at North Mountain has been nominated in the past, but because it's on public property, it's on parks property, can't do it.
Well, see, again, you know, I've heard that that's tradition. The answer that I have been told is that the reason we've traditionally excluded trees on parks land is that part of the reason of the Tree of the Year program is to appreciate people who have trees on private property, who have clearly invested in them and taken care of them. And I think there's an element of awarding a beautiful tree in a park is a little bit like patting ourselves on the back, I think, is kind of the idea.
Gotcha.
My two cents on that.
Yeah, one year I remember coming up too, there was concerns that even though it doesn't place official protections on a tree, that it would be harder to remove this. I think this was in particular had to do with the railroad lines right there on Normal Street, a nice big black oak. I think it was nominated and there was some issue with the railroad. It got kind of silly, but just complicated as things do, but well, yeah, it's a great tree. And I wanted to thank Kat before she left. That was wonderful. Both the map and I didn't know she did all the pictures too.
It was so helpful. I was really pleased. Yeah. I was really pleased.
I got overwhelmed with the thought of making the list and figuring out the most efficient way to do it, and ran out of time, and there she'd done it. So that was great. So yeah, that will circle back around the wildlife. Thank you, Tony, for being here. You're doing great work up there. Really appreciate it. It's been really fun to see that mature, just kind of vicariously. Got friends up there, and Doug Tripp, I know, has been involved. Yeah, nice job. Should we talk about tree plotter some other time too, Aaron?
I think so. Yeah, I think we'd probably be appropriate to entertain a motion for adjournment.
Okay. You guys got any last thoughts? Or shall we? All right. 7:26.
Thank you, everyone.
Wow, meeting adjourned.
See you, everybody. Next
time. Cheers.